We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back to the Labatt Studio. And this quarter number four is brought to you by Labatt Blue Citra, a bright hop aroma and a crisp, clean finish. Labatt Blue Citra. Check it out. Hey, don't forget, Penn State fans, you can catch all of our content on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. You can download our app, Keystone Sports, from the App Store on your phone. And we're now on Spotify. Just look us up, Keystone Sports. Bob Flounders, Ross Tucker, Andy Shea, you guys ready to finish strong?
Ready.
Always.
All right, we're going to talk about James Franklin this week. James Franklin, the college coach. James Franklin as an NFL coach. James Franklin, what would be considered someplace that might be interested or James would be interested in going to. I thought he gave a really good interview that our boss Jim shared with us on WIP out of Philadelphia. I listened to a chunk of it. But the center of round, what he wants to talk about is, do you think James Franklin would consider going to the NFL?
Well, first of all, in the interview, he said that Adam Schefter, before he took the Penn State job, said that he had interviewed for the Texans job.
Correct.
And that surprised a lot of people because he's a college coach, great recruiter. Right. Why does it make any sense? And apparently he really aced the interview. And I think in the interview you're referencing, he actually he doubled down and said it was more than one team that I think he interviewed with.
He said there was only one that he took the interview.
Yeah, but a couple more expressed interest.
He had just taken the Penn State job and he turned him down.
He basically said Penn State was his calling, and that's right. He's kind of happy there. But I just was wondering, in light of some recent like developments and some coaches that have moved around, you know, how would James Franklin, and we could ask Russ, is how would he project as an NFL coach, given what's happened with the Cardinals, given even you look at what happened in basketball recently, Beilein goes from Michigan, where you think he's just going to stay at 66.
Right.
He takes the Cavaliers job. I just don't think he can ever say never anymore. And if you go by that premise, Ross, how do you think James would translate or transition to the NFL if he ever decided to maybe dip his toe in the water?
So I think right now, I think he transitioned pretty well, because you think about the fact that he's a guy, he's been successful, very successful at Vanderbilt and Penn State. You think about where Vanderbilt was when he took over. And then what do you have, three straight bowl seasons and winning seasons?
That's crazy
at Vanderbilt. And then you come and you go to Penn State when things were not good, and it took him a couple years. But now he's got Penn State to the point where they are a 9-10 win team at least.
That's the expectation, right?
Yeah. So I'm a big guy on your track record, and his track record is twice he's been a head coach. And twice he's been successful so far. So that part of it translates. He's an unbelievable people person. His attention to detail is excellent.
Outstanding.
What the thing I would say, though, is I've talked with him a handful of times. I'm most impressed by how he handles people. And I think that that's more important at the college level. I think the way he's handled me or high school coaches or recruits, and you see that, I think that is really impressive. I was literally, while we were talking, I've been going through Penn State's top 25 recruits since 2000, right, on 24/7 Sports. Like, half of them are James Franklin's guys. Like, half of the top recruits are his guys, and I think – you look at part of the reason why he's been good, it's a lot of the recruits that they've brought in, Trace McSorley, Saquon Barkley, some of these other guys. I think that's probably, from what we could see, his greatest strength. So I don't know how well, if his greatest strength is recruiting, I'll give him a benefit of the doubt going to the NFL just because his track record of winning at Vanderbilt and Penn State. But if his greatest strength is recruiting, there is no recruiting in the NFL. That doesn't carry over. Guys go to whoever gives them the most money, almost period.
Do you think, though, maybe he would obviously realize that and identify the coaching talent to put around him to succeed. And it's almost recruiting, in other words, finding the guys that would that he could work with and kind of let him. You look at the Cowboys, like Jason Garrett, like doesn't do a lot of coaching. I'm not sure what he does, but I mean, he's got Rod Marinelli, and you know, he made a change at the OC position, I think, recently. Would James be a big picture guy who would be smart enough, Ross, just to identify the guys?
He would be smart enough, Bob, but a lot of that is finances and what organization are you with,
right,
and how willing are they to spend on assistant coaches? Because he's lost Joe Moorhead and Josh Gattis and Huff. I mean, he's lost a lot of guys.
Shoopy.
And I think a lot of that is monetary.
Yeah.
And those guys just went for literally greener pastures. So maybe you say there's nothing, you know, what can James do? He's been very clear. He doesn't think they should ever lose a guy to a lateral move.
Right.
And that really, if you lose a guy to a lateral move, it's almost strictly about money, you know, unless the guy thinks that is some reason a more of an opportunity. So I think he would be looking to hire people like that. I just think he would be restricted by the organization's willingness to spend on assistant coaches. Some are very willing, some are not.
Can I say one thing about in college versus the NFL when I look at James Franklin? And you could speak to this a little bit too, Ross. I see James as an overarching outstanding for a lot of the reasons you said. Like, he is a fantastic CEO type person, personality. And at the college level, that's a turnkey for success. But at the NFL level, the NFL head coach is not that sort of overarching CEO type guy.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I agree on that, Andy. I think like Pete Carroll, I think, is a CEO type. I think that there are guys that are CEO types, and I think that can be very effective. You know, Belichick has been a CEO type.
Correct.
In recent years. So I think that can be effective. I guess I just don't know if you're taking away his greatest strength, which is the recruiting part of it and the relationships he has and his follow-up and his memory and, you know, the things he does. I just don't know that there'd be that much value. I will say this is interesting as a follow-up. And I'll let you, Andy, tell everybody what you need to tell them, and then I'll get into it.
Oh, okay. We're coming to you from the Labatt Blue studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white. Drink blue and light. Thank you, Ross.
Well, I knew that this was going to be like a couple-minute thing, and I didn't want you to get in trouble. That would be awful if Andy got in trouble. It really bother me. No, but here's the thing.
Zing.
It's interesting. I can't think of an assistant coach I've talked to that would prefer to be in college football than the NFL because of the recruiting,
right,
and because of the demands. There are guys that don't mind recruiting, or they like some guys even like recruiting, but the hours are actually more in college football for assistants than in the NFL. NFL, those guys get a full month off. College, you're never really off. You just can't be. Because of the recruiting. Head coach is a little different. I think most guys would still probably rather be an NFL head coach. But there's something there about being the king of the kingdom in Tuscaloosa or Baton Rouge or State College or South Bend, where you got it pretty good. You have it better in those towns, those college towns, than you do if you're the head coach of the New York Jets. Or, you know what I mean? Like
New York Jets head coach.
Yeah, I mean, you just have a better, because you're usually going to have a longer leash in college football than you are in the NFL. And you're like the king of your kingdom. And the reporters aren't going to go after you as hard. The fans, the people are going to love you more so than the NFL. So I think head coaches don't have to do as much recruiting. Like in May, they're not even allowed to be on the road, right? So they're not on the road. They're still doing recruiting stuff. So I think there's an argument to be made to be a Power 5 head coach over an NFL head coach, like David Shaw and Pat Fitzgerald. They're not leaving for anything. They know they got great gigs at Stanford Northwestern. Yeah. The expectations aren't that high. They get to coach great kids. They make a few million bucks a year. You know, they're happy.
King of the hill.
No stress, no pressure, hardly any media. Was there two Northwestern beat writers, maybe one Stanford beat writer? I mean, there's not much. They realize how good they have it compared to being a head coach in the NFL.
I would just say that James is always going to be able to get a job at a major college. And so too will be Pat and Shaw. I just wonder if they would ever be intrigued by the challenge, just to say, I tried it just to see if I could do it, what it would be like. Because if it doesn't work out, there's always going to be a home for me in college football somewhere. Because I think he would be, if it didn't work out for him on the NFL level, Ross, I think he'd just be snapped up in a second by a pretty good college program. And maybe they want to at some point take that test in their life.
That's a really good point. And that's why sometimes people do take NFL jobs, is that it's like you get an extra bite at the apple. You know, if Penn State wins 7 or 8 games this year, there'll start to be some rumblings.
Right.
About, hey, are they on the way down? Did they have this great group of Gesicki and Hamilton and Saquon and McSorley, but now they're going down? I mean, whereas if he took a NFL job while he's quote unquote hot, it's almost like a freebie. It's almost like a mulligan.
It is.
You know, like if it goes great, then great. If it goes poorly, he's just not an NFL guy. He's a college guy. He's a recruiter, and then you can bounce back.
Football coaching wise, the biggest difference is not, and I take recruiting out, what you eloquently explained. Is there big differences between the two, in your opinion, Ross?
Yeah.
And what?
Well, recruiting is a big one.
Right.
You mentioned that. But then the next one would just be the money part of it. It's a lot different. And it really is the difference between grown men and late teenagers, early 20 kids. Now, I will say this. You talk with college coaches, they're kind of getting fed up. Now, because I was going to say in the NFL, in college, you don't have to deal with agents. You don't have to deal with agents in college football, but that line is starting to get blurred.
It is.
The transfer portal, the 7-on-7 coaches, it's not – I think Franklin even referenced that.
He did. Oh, he did in the WIP interview. Absolutely. That
there are some trends in college football.
More challenging and that, difficult, yeah, in his words.
That I know he doesn't love, because I don't think any college coaches – why? How could you? But it's still not NFL dealing with guys literally not showing up, holding out, their agent, they want a new contract – telling the media you're a bad coach and there's not much you can do about it. Like, that wouldn't fly in college.
Saban, Petrino, Calipari, Pitino. They all dipped their toe in the water, came right back, and it was like they never left.
All right, that'll do it for our show from the Labatt Studio this week. Thank you, Bob Flounders. Thank you, Ross Tucker, for everybody at the Keystone Sports Network. Thanks for joining us. We appreciate it, and have a good weekend.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right, Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.